Blog Talk Radio.
Darkness falls across the land. The P4P guest hosts are close at hand. And even though our third-party testing is good, we'll still spread it throughout the neighborhood. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete with no ghosts or demons inside you and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, no pirate ship from Pirates of the Caribbean, and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what does?
Like a Mac truck through ice cream, blah, blah, blah.
Mixed with a Bloody Mary. And now let us drink the essence of talking.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't even like Halloween. But, hey, happy Halloween, folks. Talk. Let's talk. Kaylin Patterson, how are you? Or should I say O'Kellen? O'Kellen of the Patterson clan. How be it you this fine evening?
I am doing... I got my voice back, obviously, from the weekend.
You do?
Oh,
I tell you what, guys. Kaylin was so boisterous at the NGA Natural Peoria Championships. He was losing his voice. He was losing his voice. He was projecting from the back of the room all the way to the front of the room. And that's a lot of projection.
Yes, that was, well, for one, let's give people a grand scheme of what we're talking about, because that, the venue and the hotel are massive. And that, the space in that room was a lot more than I expected, and it was a lot bigger. So, you know, I had no, you know, the pump-up room could have been another stage. He went above and beyond, and on that cold day, it was actually necessary because, you know, no one had to worry about the snow, the sleet, or the rain because everything was in the building. So it was really fun, and, you know, you can't help but when someone's going through that kind of effort to bring about that that comfort for the competitors to actually get more engaged because you realize, you know, this is going to be special.
It was. And it was. And the he's talking about is Jonathan Agin. He's the promoter of the Natural Peoria Championship, or the NGA-NPC, as we call it. And that was just one of a couple of shows that happened this weekend, but that happened to be the one that Kaylin and I were at. Kaylin was there representing Midwest Muscle and P4P Real Talk and just P as a whole. And I was there test judging my first competition. And it was a very busy but good day. We had a lot of great interviews in it all, and we're starting to get those up on the Midwest Muscle Facebook page, so check those out. But just a lot of stuff going on. Kaylin, what were some of the highlights you took away from the show?
Well, honestly, and this is as a competitor speaking and just having a big, big appreciation for it, the Expediters. They were the OMG of that show because it was just so cool to see how if they were just going, the flow was so nice. And, you know, I know people be like, well, Expediters, what the heck? But just the fact that it ran so smooth, people were ready. I mean, they didn't have to do anything other than, I mean, the competitors. All they had to do was basically get in line because the Expediters were basically getting them there, not hurting them, not shuffling, not yelling, screaming, because we never saw any of that. That was one of the things that just stood out for me because it was just so – it was streaming so well, you know, when the MC, Kimmy Arnone, didn't have to sit there and fuss and fight and ask, well, you know, where's so-and-so and where's so-and-so. And I think there was only one athlete that basically had to go use the bathroom that basically slowed down the process. And if that's the only glitch, you know, I'm happy with that. And the other one was, you know, just how everyone could be a part of it, because I know Earl Snyder, and one of the things he does is get the crowd engaged into what's going on. And one of the things he kept doing was letting people know, you know, about the different classes and categories and what to look for and what to expect, so there wouldn't be that mass confusion and there wouldn't be that misunderstanding of, you know, my son or daughter looked great on stage, why didn't they win? Only to find out they were in the wrong category or something like that. These things are very vital and very important, and basically help the promoter actually have a good show, because people have a better understanding of what they're viewing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I have to say I appreciated that. And as a judge, that just makes, you know, the whole process go a lot more smoothly. And it was great to have Earl Snyder. So if you guys remember us, we've had Earl, we've had him on the show a couple of different times to talk about judging. And then we were also talking about his show, The East Coast Natural, which Kaylin and I were at earlier this year, because he's also a promoter, but just an all around rounded good guy. You know, he gave a lot of great tips and guidance to the judges there, just to help promote consistency and what we were looking for. And, you know, just the whole process went well. Terry Weitzel was there. She was the, auditor is the word that I'm going to use, but it's probably not the right title. But she was there, got all the numbers plugged in, the scoring entered. So, you know, a winner, first place, second place, on down could be identified. And, you know, it was just a good selection, I guess, a cross section of judges, I would say. You had John Abraham there, who was judging, who is a NGA show promoter as well. We had a couple of athletes from Florida that came all the way to Peoria to be part of the judging panel. You had Courtney Mile, who is a figure pro, and she is also a judge. So, you know, just a good cross session and good group of people there. And, you know, a great selection of athletes, a lot of fun, a couple of the categories that I really enjoyed. It was just for fun, which was the Halloween aspect of it. We had quite a few athletes that participated, and they came up with great costumes. So that was fun to watch and judge. And then, as I had referenced in our Facebook Live video that Kaylin and I took part in, is that I'm really enjoying the bikini model category. And that's kind of the wings category. You'll see it in the NGA. You'll see it in the PNBA, INBA. So it's not across every organization, but it's starting to gain more popularity. And I think it's just a fun, beautiful way to continue to showcase physiques in a fashion that we're not normally used to seeing. So those are just a couple of things that I took away as well during the show. You know, we've got all of the winners for you highlighted in video interviews, and those are going to be posted soon. So keep your eye on that. The transformation competitor that we had the opportunity to speak with, now there was a story. Kaylin, why don't you tell us a little bit about that story there, because you handled that interview, yes, but you also had an opportunity to speak more in depth with her prior to the competition. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, when Tamara was introduced to me, she looked so, and I'm not saying this as an insult, but she just looked so regular and so like just a competitor that wanted to compete and had busted her butt to get on stage. And then as she started opening up, and you feel what you hear, I mean, your heart just goes out to someone who's basically had to overcome so much in so many things from so many levels. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, I'll let you go to the listeners go to the video that we're referring and listen to it from her words. So, you know, it's not just something we're throwing out there to make it sound like, you know, please just listen and watch the show. No. If you guys know Real Talk, you know Real Talk. This is someone that's actually going through everything she said on a daily basis. And I said one of the things that she posted right after the show ended was that she couldn't sleep because she had a seizure that night. And, you know, these things we take for granted with basically getting up, knowing our bodies are going to work with us to get us through our respective days. Our minds are going to be there for us to get us through our respective days. And she has basically everything saying, no, you shouldn't be able to do these things. You shouldn't be able to work at your body the way it should. It's basically rebelling against her on a daily basis. And she still found a way to not only get through her days, but to compete. And one of the things that really just almost stopped me, because if anyone knows me, knows my fear of needles, and she was talking about those 35 injections. I said,
In one day, in her head.
Yes. And that's just a moment I had. But it's needles. Yeah, I'll just stop there. Yeah. But anyway, it's just, and that's while she's in prep, I'm just blown away. And hopefully we'll be able to have her on the show, on Real Talk, so people can actually engage and ask questions of her so they'll understand that we're not overdoing this when we're saying just how much of a transformation it took for her to get on stage. And when you see her physique, you should be in awe that she was able to get to that point of competition. Because, you know, this is not just a transformation. This is quite the transformation. And that's just one of the parts that had blown me away. But then the fact, you know, she was a mother and she's got all these other things going on in her life. And she represents an organization and she's the spokesperson for it because she does find a way. And, I mean, she's an overcomer. I don't want to say overachiever. She's done some achievements. She's done some great things, and I'm just so impressed that she was able to share that with us and basically, you know, open up to where people can understand, you know, like it's something that slows her down, but it's never going to stop her. And I was just, you know, you can't help but take that away from that interview. And, you know, Dez has already posted it, so guys, girls, get out there, watch it, view it. And understand that, you know, all excuses that you have pretty much go in the toilet and garbage can when you watch what this woman has done and achieved.
Yeah, no doubt. So you can find that video on the Midwest Muscle Facebook page, or she has a page called Tamara the Purple Warrior. That's T-A-M-R-A, Tamara the Purple Warrior, and purple is her favorite color, and she calls herself a warrior because she's out there fighting to gain visibility for people with disabilities, especially those disabilities that you can't see. As Kaylin was saying, one of the points that she makes is that not all disabilities are visible. You might look at someone and they look perfectly normal to you on the outside, but what you don't understand are the battles that they are fighting from the inside. And so that's her message, and that was her whole reason for competing. So definitely do check out her interview, though. It's short. I believe it's less than 3 minutes or just a little bit over 3 minutes, but it's definitely worth your time to take a listen. So do check it out. But, yeah, a lot of good stuff. The competition season is starting to wind down. We're seeing the last of the big shows that are coming up here over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll all be in prep season in earnest for those that are getting ready for 2018. But a couple of other shows that happened this past weekend was the Yorton Cup, and then also the Clash of the Titans. So both of those, Yorton was OCB, Clash of the Titans is IPE, NAMBF, and, you know, if you remember the Clash of the Titans we were talking about, they were having a heck of a time founding a facility. They thought they might have to change their date because they couldn't find a venue to host the competition because their initial arrangement had fallen through, but they ended up being able to find a place, being able to keep their same date, and it sounds like it turned out to be one heck of a show. And the Yorton definitely looked to be one heck of a show. I mean, and this is a pro show, strictly a pro show, and stacked across the board. Several classes going on there. minimum of eight to nine competitors in each class. I take that back. The women's physique pro class had about three competitors in it. But other than that, I mean, minimum of eight competitors per a class. And that's a lot of pro folks. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of times maybe we might have, I don't know, what would you say, Kaylin? An average of five to six pros in a given pro show throughout the year. Some of the bigger shows might draw up to 10 to 13, but to be that stacked that consistently across the board, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, and, you know, the only time I've seen it different would be the Kansas City and, you know, when the Mayhem before it had its issues. But, you know, it's still good to have that many stacked names on the deck, because you're talking about Siobhan Cunningham and Ray Clark are two warriors that just already have people turning their heads. And you have, you know, one of the ambassadors, Marshall Johnson, stepping up there. And that's just on the men's side. And then you have the women's that are just as stacked or better, because, you know, there were no straight shots. Everybody had to bust their behinds at those shows. So, I mean, at that show. So it was nice to see. And that's what something that, you know, as fans, Des and I crave, is, you know, competitive shows with competitive pros. Because, you know, it's nice to have the people winning at shows, but it's so much more beneficial to see that they have somewhere to go after they win their pro cards. And shows like that, making it sure that happens.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I'm glad you bring that up. And I'm going to jump back to the NGA NPC here real quick, because we're talking about pros and pros having an opportunity to compete. And, you know, we've also talked about the debate of what's the best strategy to take when a new pro is minted. Should they take time off to grow, to improve their physique before they jump on the pro stage, or should they just go for it and get their feet wet and see what the experience is about, and then work on growing and improving from there? And one athlete that we interviewed, Denzel Carter, he was one of those that just turned pro, I know, 2 weeks ago at the Minnesota Mayhem, and he just jumped in there and did it. And he didn't finish in the top five, but he still came to the stage with a pretty decent-looking physique, and he's fired up for next year. So there's definitely an example of someone who followed the ladder of, you know, I've got my pro card, and I'm going to just see what it's all about versus waiting to get on that stage, which is the more common trend and sometimes can be a little dangerous, because if you wait too long, there's a lot of pros out there that just have never competed pro. They're in their pro card, and then that's kind of the last we hear of them. And that's kind of sad in all actuality.
It is, because when you're talking about, you know, this was one of the dilemmas. This is one of the dilemmas I have with the shrinking down of our natural athletes. And when I say shrinking down is, you know, they're coming in so completely shredded, so completely ripped, that when you talk about a body builder, I mean, that's one of the things that everyone has been speaking about, is that for bodybuilding, it has something to do with size. And that's part of the criteria, the muscle fullness and the muscle bellies being filled out. And if there's just not enough muscle to basically bring the package that a competitor can truly bring, then it becomes an issue on sustainability for that competitor and for the industry as a whole when you talk about bodybuilding. Because, I mean, we have men's physique and we have all these other categories, but it seems like sometimes we're looking from basically the thing that started it all. And that is the bodybuilder. And if they're not holding a certain size like a Terry Starks or holding a certain size like Denzel, because he definitely brought the size. I mean, he could have been more conditioned, but like you said, you know, he still stepped on stage being worthy of being up there simply because he had that size and he could hold his own in some of the poses. So if we have to basically look down the road and make sure we're not willing out bodybuilding for the sake of all these other classes and not addressing them as well. Even if we, I mean, if we have to go back to a classic bodybuilding just to sustain the size for the competitors and keep the people in the audience seats impressed, I think that might have to be an option down the road if we're going to keep it, because that 2 and 3 years of not being on stage, it might be great for the athlete and that's great for the people, but it's not going to do anything about the actual organizations, venues, and everything else, ticket sales, if they're not impressed by the bodybuilding group. That is something we need to think about. And I have one, I have a question from Terry for Dez right now, and she says, okay, you guys have spoken about everything, but you kind of glossed over Dez being a test judge. Can she elaborate on that? Because we'd like to know.
Oh, yeah, sure. So you've heard, we've held several shows on judging, and, you know, we've even talked about the criteria of what it takes to become a judge, and that, you know, some of the benefits of being a judge is to also help you improve as an athlete, because then you have more of an idea of what's being looked for from the other side of the table. So both Kaylin and I have taken steps this year to walk the talk and have thrown our hats into the test judging arena on our way to becoming a certified judge. And it just so happened that it's both been at NGA shows, only because I think that's worked out best for our schedules to be able to participate. But I was hoping to be able to compete at Jonathan Agin's show, but it didn't work out for me this year. I just had too many things that interrupted my prep the way I would have wanted to be able to step on the stage, so I did not do that. But I opted to test judge instead so I could have that experience to continue to grow and learn. And, you know, it was a really good experience. It is definitely an eye-opener when you take a look at what the judges are taxed with doing. And it's much harder than you would think. It's really hard. I mean, when those pros stepped on stage and they were the first ones that we judged, I was just like, oh, my gosh, how can you even begin to break this down? Because they are so close, so ready, and it really is picking straws. And it comes down to, you know, you have an idea based on criteria and how well they meet that criteria, where they fall, where they might fall in line. It might be easy to pick out who, you know, might be in a fifth place spot or what have you. But then as you work your way up the line, it becomes much harder, and it gets down to looking at each individual pose to see who bubbles to the top. You might have three people that look like they are equal, smack dab, and then that's why the judges start asking for different poses or multiple turns or start moving them around, because you have to look at them compared to each other side by side by side. And, you know, one competitor might be really strong in two poses and just sucks in another three, and that's the difference for them. Even if their package overall seemed to be, you know, very neck and neck with another person, it does all come down to how well they can present it on stage. And that can be a tough aspect for an athlete to comprehend, because when you're on stage, you feel like you're doing everything right the way you practiced it. You don't have the benefit of really seeing how anybody else is doing, if their muscle pops better than yours is, if their glutes are, you know, for Bikini Girl, less jiggling when you're making that walk down to the other end of the stage and turning around and coming back. You don't have the benefit of seeing that, but all of the judges do. And that's really what it is they're looking for. If a Bikini Girl, if they ask a lineup to walk back and forth four times, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for those differentiating factors. And it just gives you a whole nother respect for the whole, for the process in and of itself. And, you know, and it's given me a lot to think about, and, you know, it's just really cemented in my mind areas that I want to improve upon the next time that I step on stage. So I'm looking forward to doing it again and just getting better at it. And You know, the way that it works is the test judges for the NGA, you have to test a minimum of 3 shows, and your scores have to be, I believe it's 80%. You have to be in the 80th percentile of consistency with the other judges, and I have yet to see how that shook out. But, you know, for the most part, there weren't too many surprises with some of the placements. There were a couple. But, you know, it was never like a first place question that kind of surprised me. It was more along the lines of maybe like a third or fourth or fifth placement at times. And it was just kind of swapped. I might have had someone in a fourth place and they ended up placing third or vice versa. But the thing to remember is there are 7 of us on the panel. The highest and low scores are thrown out and they average everything else in between. So, and my scores didn't count. My scores were just attractive, so I did not impact anybody's placement yet. So that's how all of that worked. I'm not sure if that's exactly what you were looking for, but it was a good experience. I'm glad I did it. I'm hopeful to see whether or not the show is going to count towards my being approved to be an official judge. And, you know, I've got 2 more that I need to get under my belt, so I hope to be able to work that in within the next competition season. And just transitioning a little bit, Bill wants to know what shows we have left to cover live this year. And, well, I personally have 1 left on my calendar. Sometimes Kaylin and I have to split. We're not able to cover all shows together, but we try as much as we can. And that show is the IPE Worlds coming up, I believe, is it November 11th? Kaylin?
Yes, it is.
Yep. So that's the next show that I know Kaylin and I are planning to cover together. A lot of shows bunch up on the same weekends, so sometimes that makes it hard for us to get to different places, but we're definitely going to be at that one. So anything else on your calendar, Kaylin?
Yes, I have the Midwest States and DeKalb.
Okay, and what's the date for that show? That's escaping me.
That's November 18th, the week
okay,
after.
Okay, November 18th. Yep, so there you have it. And, you know, actually, this coming weekend, I'm hopping a flight to the glamorous Fargo, North Dakota. I am going to
Fargo.
Be judging, but
wasn't
not
that a movie?
A bodybuilding. It was. I am going to be judging, but not a bodybuilding competition. I'm going to be judging the North Dakota Miss USA, Miss Teen USA beauty pageant. So it'll be my 2nd pageant this year that I'm participating in the judging panel. And so I'm going to do that. And then the weekend after that, I'm going to be on a direct line to Liberty, Missouri for the IPE Worlds. And then the weekend after that, Kaylin's got the Midwest State. So there you have it.
It's going to be a busy time, and you know, like you said, the season's winding down for us, but never the ideas. But one of the things that I would love to get Des information from, and that's dealing with the criteria of what to expect on the stage, because I think that's the one thing that a lot of people have issues with, is did the people follow criteria? So it's nice to see when you know the criteria of an organization that it lines up. And, you know, Courtney, we spoke about this at the end of the show, and I was asking her, you know, did everybody stick to criteria? And she said, yes. It's just like some people saw some things in the lights that others did not. And that's from the different vantage points that they have sitting as judges. That's why you were 7 of you. So it does matter, and it does every point counts, because if you're seeing different angles, then you might see something different that another judge might not see. And sometimes people get in their poses late, and if the scoring's already been, you know, not documented, then you can't fault the judge for that. So I'd like to hear what Des had on that. This is also a question from Quincy. So I'm just basically, it piqued my interest as well, so I'd like to know.
Okay, so can you rephrase the question for me? Because I think I got a little bit lost in your
okay,
description
from the
of your discussion
from the criteria
with Courtney.
Aspect, from the criteria aspect of judging, how did the judges stay on point with that?
You know, I think the head judge is very critical in keeping the judges on track. And, you know, when you have your pre-judges meeting, which I thought was very helpful and that Earl Snyder handled very well, you know, we specifically talked about what the criteria was based on the NGA bylaws for each category, you know, what we were looking for, how to stay focused, you know, and he was very, very specific about, you know, taking notes because the athletes are going to have questions afterwards, they're going to come up and ask you, and you need to have a good explanation for them. So when you look at it from that perspective and that, you know, you are going to be what an athlete is going to come back and make improvements upon, I think that just helps to drive home the seriousness of what you're doing. And this is not just, oh, okay, I'm going to sit at the show and look at these athletes and, yeah, you know, it's a very, what's the word that I'm looking for? Important pops to mind. That's not what I want, but it's a very, you know,
vital.
You should take it seriously is what I'm trying to get down to. Yes, it's a vital piece of it, and it's something that, you know, that you should be focused on and that you give it the kind of attention that it needs. So as far as being able to stay on track with the criteria, A, you have to know what it is. B, you have to have a head judge who can drive that home, answer questions, and make it crystal clear of what's expected. And then C, you have to have kind of a game plan of how you're going to go about scoring. And as I had kind of alluded to earlier, one of the tricks of the trade, if you will, would be to, you know, based on the criteria, and everyone should have reviewed it prior to getting to the show because we all have access to it. Not that you have to have it memorized, but you have a pretty good idea in your mind of what that type of athlete should look like. And a lot of it is, you know, still centers around symmetry. It does center around conditioning and how well they're going to present that on stage. And so from the get-go, as soon as an athlete steps on stage, and even when they're walking across the stage or if they're standing off the side of the stage, you already starting to pull together that picture in your mind. And sometimes it's very easy to determine an athlete is meeting that criteria, and sometimes it's a little more difficult, and that's what the mandatories are for. But I'm just going to take this moment to point that out as an aside for the athletes that are listening. If you think the judges aren't paying attention to you while you're off to the side of the stage, you're wrong. I mean, while we're waiting for you to get up there, we are looking at you and watching you from the time we can see you either waiting to step up on the stage or you first put that your foot on the stage. So wherever that moment is, we've already looked at you. We've looked at your stage presence. We looked at your smile. We looked at how you carried yourself. We looked at how your body moves across the stage. The judging has already begun. It's already begun before you even strike your first pose. So that's an important thing to consider. And it's continual. And it's all a matter of instantly, can you visually tell, are they meeting criteria? If you see someone who steps on stage and it's clear that they are probably, you know, heavier than anyone else that's on the stage, then you know that they're going to score lower, because then that counts to their conditioning criteria that needs to be met. Are you able to see their striations? Are you able to see how well their muscle is formed? Does their upper body match the lower body? I mean, there are just some obvious visual cues that are going to let you know how a person is going to do compared to someone else. And you don't have to know who is going to be first right away, because that's what the turns and the mandatories are for, but it's easier to determine who's not going to be first. And then you can work your way up from there. I mean, and that's, you know, how I approach the exercise of judging and the advice that Earl had given, and that's how I went about it. And I think because we all took that to heart, we had all done our homework, and we had a good head judge who took the time to go over all of these things with us, made it easier to stay on track. The head judge role is very important, and I didn't realize how important it was until I took part in the exercise that I did last weekend.
Well, thank you for that very informative answer. Now, I got to do a sidetrack, and I hope it doesn't take away from the show, but it's something I do need to talk about. Jill and Kathy had sent me a message because they were very saddened that one of our prior guests, Angela Pro-Yo, had spoken about competing, and they were under the misunderstanding that she was going to be competing at the Yorton, especially with her look. You know, she was primed and ready. But she ended up competing at the NPC Kentucky show, and, you know, she won. She won the overall. So she looked phenomenal, no doubt about it. But they were worried that she was done as a natural athlete, which she is not. I'm very happy to inform you that she is not done being a natural athlete. You know, she's not disrespecting anyone in any way. She has a dream. She wants to be out there and do a show next year. And this is one of the qualifiers to actually get there to do it. What I do want everyone to understand is that, you know, when competitors have dreams and they're human just like everyone else, she is not disrespecting the natural industry or the natural organizations. She's always been a lifelong natty, and she's just got a goal and dream, and she wants to do it. So I hope everyone understands that even though you might have thought she was doing the Yorton, she never said she was. And this is a dream that she's had, and she's got the physique to hold her own on stage with the enhanced community, and she's willing to go and do that. So I just want to throw that out there. She's sorry for the misunderstanding. She hopes she hasn't hurt anyone's feelings, because that was definitely not her intent. This is a woman basically living out her dream, and thank God she's got the physique to do so. So I just wanted to put that out there. So Jill and Kathy, thank you for asking. I got this information straight from Angela, and, you know, I've known her for years, and she hasn't been anything but honest with me, so I know for sure that I'm getting it from the source, and it's an actual truthful information.
Thank you, Kaylin, and that's great to know, and it's great when we have athletes that are open and willing to, share answers to those questions with us. I'm going to shift a little bit. Dale is wondering who won the men's overall pro and who won the overall amateur pro for the NGA NPC, and I do have some of that information for you here. If you give me a second, I'm looking at my notes. The winners included for the Open Men's Physique Light category, and I'm just going to go over the top. I'm going to go over to the top three just for the sake of time. Brian Muth won first place in the Open Men's Physique Light category, and we had Matt LaGrotta, who took second, and then Eric Janik was third. In the men's physique heavy category, you had Christopher Nelson, who took first, Ulysses Brezino, who took second, and then Kevin Crampton, who took third place. I know. So, and then out of that, Brian Moose is the one who walked away with the overall and the pro card. So congratulations to Brian there.
Oh, and Warrior, he's been competing all year. It was good to see him bring that package and he win the Hollywood Halloween. So, I mean, it was just a great show, and it was good to see him and finally get to do.
Yeah, he definitely looked great, and I did enjoy his Halloween costume. That was good. We had Ralph Dunahy, who won the Open Men's Classic Physique category, and then Kyle Siebert was second, and Christopher Nelson was third. In the Open Men's Bodybuilding Light, we had Dylan Irvine, who was first,
yeah,
and then James McKenzie, who was second. In the Open Men's Bodybuilding Mid, we had Ralph Dunahy, who was first, and then Kyle Siebert, who was second. And then in Open Men's Bodybuilding Light Heavy, we had David Hammond, who was first, and Richie... Ooh, that's the last name. I'm going to go Cialbrini. I don't remember the pronunciation, but I am close. And then in Open Men's Bodybuilding Heavy, we had one competitor, and his name was Richard Horn. And it was David Hammond who took the overall. in men's open bodybuilding, and his interview with Kalen is already up on Midwest Muscle. That was a little exciting. He had this foot stomp when he had won, and Kalen was excited from the moment that happened, so he was a little bit giddy when the interview took place. But it was all good. For pro men's bodybuilding, Jay Johnson took first, Kiergaard took second, and
wow,
Terry Starks took third in that category. And I'm just going to pause for a moment because Gloria was wondering how I felt with all of those pros standing over, you know, the edge of the stage during their pros down. And I'd say it was pretty amazing. I mean, they were having so much fun and loving what they were doing, and they all looked so great. And, you know, there's nothing little about any of them, really. And they were just so pumped up. And it's just, yes, especially Terry Starks. And it's just fun to watch people who really enjoy what they're doing, who want to perform and put on, you know, a good show for the audience. And at that point in time during the pose down, the tabulation was already happening. So as a judge, you can sit back and just enjoy the athletes for being just athletes, and you're not there trying to, you know, break them down and see who's first, second, or third. You're just enjoying a natural athlete. And so it's a lot of fun to watch them as they compete.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Kalen. You were there too. What were your, I mean, you were at the back of the room, but still, what were your thoughts?
Well, my voice was up there right with you. But one of the things I would love to say is that when you're talking about pro bodybuilder, pro bikini, pro figure, their posing is on point, and it's something. It's
yep.
truly something to behold when you see that. And I'm talking. Terry is massive on stage, and his front lat spread is enough to basically shadow anyone that's basically intimidated about being up there with him. So, you know, for the guys to hold their own with him was nice. And it was nice to see, like you said, with Denzel being up there, being his first pro show, his posing was on point, too. So, you know, you can see the guys that really want to be up there. That's the make-or-break moment about, you know, basically involving the audience and having them basically join in on how things are going. So it's real fun when you can have those pose downs, because it's very interactive, I guess the best way to say it. As a head judge, it's unique, but Dez held her own, and I'm proud of her for doing so, because like I said, a person with Denzel's height and a person with Terry's height can go 3D, so basically they can be almost like right up on you, even though they're on the stage. So well done with that, yeah. Dez.
But, yeah, they did a great job. They did a great job. Pro bikini, Ashley Noland was first. Heather Eggers was second. Pro figure, we had Carly Wendt first, and Aaron Barr was second. Let me look here real quick. And I think that wraps up our pro classes there. I think I may have glossed over... anyway, I'm holding up the show, trying to flip through all these names because they're not in one concise list. I'm going through all of my I'm going through all of my notes.
I'll give you a
show.
Minute to take a break, then. I'll give you a minute to take a break because I got to say something, and it's a big happy heart that I can say it with. Hats off to Peoria for basically hosting every show they do, and it's a pro amp. So, you know, the pros, I mean, the amateurs that win have something to do after they win their pro card. So, you know, I'm really happy that part of town, but that part of the Midwest is ensuring that the athletes have somewhere to go and something to do after they win their pro card. And they brought a good lineup this year, and I was really impressed for the Heart of America and the Natural Peoria Championship. So great job with that, guys. And, you know, really proud of that you're giving the athletes somewhere to go after their pro card win. Because, you know, we, like Dad said, we have people that were winning their pro cards, but because they didn't have a pro-am show to compete at or a pro show, that they never got to basically fulfill that dream of being a pro on stage. So, you know, it's something we need to think about. It's something the industry needs to address. And I know in order for the industry to grow, that's going to happen more and more often.
No doubt. No doubt. So here quickly, we covered the guys. And I'm sure Jonathan is going to have this list posted, which we were sharing on Midwest Muscle. So if you don't remember something or you want to know further on down the line who got what placing, I know that information will be coming. But now they hit the ladies, Masters Bikini 35+. We had Amber Loft, who took first place, Megan Sears second, and Julie Jacobs took third. Masters Figure 35+, we had Stephanie Mulvaney in first, Dawn Cox, P4P, in second,
yeah,
and Violet Holmes in third. And Masters Figure 40+, we had Carrie Catalano-Helton, Jacqueline Dennison in second, and Dawn Cox was third in that category as well. You know, and that's just really impressive. Because all of these ladies, 35 and older, on down the line, and they are up there bringing massive packages. So, again, natural bodybuilding is that sport where age can work to your advantage if you stick with it. The muscle maturity, the leanness, all of that continues to come into play with good diets, consistency in working out, great form, you know, just sticking with it. It can work to your advantage instead of working against you, age that is. So, and that's also going to come into play because Carrie Catalano-Helton, and I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but she took the overall, and she's 55 years old.
Yes.
The open overall in figure, 55 years old. She swept that category. So I'm going to get to that full placing there, but I just had to throw that out there because it just coincided with the point I was trying to make. Age does not have to be, it does not have to be a deterrent in natural bodybuilding. It can be, you know, the body will do what it's going to do, but it doesn't have to be.
I woke the baby.
You woke the baby. Open Bikini Class A, we had a Cassidy Walters first place, Julie Jacobs in second, and Jess Rogers in third. Open Bikini Class B, we had Amber Loft in first place again, Jennifer Martin in second, and Megan Sears in third place. The overall went to Amber Loft. And she, if you will recall, was in Masters Bikini 35+. So there you have it. In the Bikini Open and the Figure Open, they were swept by Masters competitors. Just a lot of fun there. So, Open Figure, you had Carrie Helton. They bought it, brought it. She took first in Open Figure A. Stephanie Mulvaney took second. And Kayla Bridgman took third in Open Figure A.
Not Kayla.
In Open Figure
Not
B.
Not Kayla.
Not Kaylin. Kayla. Kayla. We had an Annie Morozko took first, a Jacqueline Dennison took second, and Dawn Cox was third in Open Figure B. And as I said, Carrie Catalano-Helton, she swept the whole thing. So there you pretty
she
much have
good.
It. She did.
She
looked great.
Good.
And she got started
wow.
because her husband was a bodybuilder, and she went to one of his competitions, and she said, hey, I think I can do that. She didn't start competing until age 50. I haven't posted her interview yet, but it's coming. She started competing at age 50, and over the last 5 years, she's just been improving and honing in her physique, and this show, it all paid off for her.
She looks good. I mean, like, the stage was really loving her. I'll say that. She looks really good. When she said her age, I could not. No way. Her muscles were just popping up there. It's really something to see someone that's taking care of their health and their bodies that well, where they can basically get their bodies to engage and have the audience engaged with them. That's really impressive. I have to say that.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So, you know, again, just loving on these athletes. Love the Natty Nation. Can't say enough about them. Can't say enough about them. It's a good group of hardworking folks. Yep. Yep.
Beautiful.
And that's all I got. Yes.
That's all we need. Let's see. We ain't got any more questions. I hope I didn't miss anybody. No, we're good. I think I got
all right.
We
are good.
Laura, you dirty girl, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just talking about putting that. But no, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we want to know what Lori said? You've got her interest peaked now. Come on, guys. I know everyone else out there wants to know, too. No, not happening. Okay. Lori, we're just going to have to go with the picture that Kaylin's painting of you.
Yeah, we're going to have to go with that.
Okay.
Judges,
so real,
and she wants to know, you know, it's like, come on, with those kind of physiques, and you don't forget that you're a judge.
you know, you don't. And I have people ask me about that all the time, or even when people give me a hard time for being a bodybuilding competitor and the posing suits and all those that come along with it, and you know, they think, oh, it's just a meat market, and you know, da 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 da, and you know, really, a lot of what's going through my mind on a pretty consistent basis, and I think this is the way for a lot of athletes, are when we see another competitor, the first thing that's going through our head is they're big, they're small, they're lean. They're going to do well. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to, you know, compete against them. Or, you know, that's what we're looking at. Yes, we are, like, totally focused on their physiques and their bodies, but it's almost in a mechanical, very sterile way.
It's from a different perspective.
Now, had I been sitting out in the audience and I were single, hell, heck yeah, I might be like, whoa, you know, maybe I'd like to have his number. But that wasn't the case in the judging position, and that's pretty much my mindset when I'm also competing. You know, I have a great appreciation for the human body, but it's almost from a point, and I don't know if this sport has, I won't say it's warped me, but it's definitely shaped the way that I think about things, and it's from a standpoint of, they need to lose weight. No, that pose is good.
Yes.
That suit doesn't fit. It's not doing them any favors. That's the wrong color. That's what I see. That's honestly what I see. Huh? Stop wearing those brown ones. No, don't wear those anymore. Please.
I'm going to piggyback what they're saying about the competitors. Because like I had that question myself, you know, is this something I can do if I respect the competitors, if I can respect the people, especially the women? And that was something I thought about, you know. It's something that was always on my mind until I got in there. And I remember, I think it was about my third show, and one of the ladies did not have her coat show up, one of those bad instances, and she had no one to help her out. And the women were basically being lined up. And she said, well, then you're going to have to bikini bite me. And I was like, what? Because I just never heard of that. And then when I bikini bit that woman, I said, then I'm going to make it. Because I was able to get out of myself from selfish thoughts and ideas and become a human being, helping another human being. And then it changed everything. I said, well, then this is a sport I can do because I have respect for everyone here. And that's what it comes down to.
Yep. And if you're not familiar with what bikini bite is, it's basically glue. So that's one of the little secrets to competing, and to keep your suit in place and looking nice and not riding up. You glue it. You glue it to your body, and especially for the bikini gals, you glue it to your butt. And so that's pretty much what she was asking. You can glue other body parts too, depending on how your suit fits, to keep you all in there. But that's what Kaylin had to do. He had to get there down and personal and apply glue to her buttocks and then pull her suit over it and hold it down so she had a nice, smooth-looking fit. So when he said he bikini bit her, that's what was going on.
Oh, my. I didn't even realize how that sounded. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
else,
what you said.
Something else that happened over the weekend, Ms. Desiree.
There was. I got married. Got married on Friday. So got married on Friday. Then my new husband and I jumped in a car and drove to Peoria so I could be there to test judge the next day.
37. But, 42. You're getting some love. They're giving you some love.
Nice. So I think some of you know my story. I've been married before, divorced for several years. So Corey had been married before also. So we didn't have a big shindig. We went to the courthouse, which was an experience in and of itself, but very simple. We had our family there, so meaningful to us. And, you know, it took all of about 10 minutes. And it was good. So anyway, that's what happened. So thanks everybody for your well wishes. And we have got
Daniel, congratulations, girly.
Thank you. So next on deck, we're gonna get Kaylin married off. That's the goal. So if anybody wants to message me, if you've got matches for him.
I thought I had to get ready for high heels. Now you're trying to get me married?
Yeah, you do have to get ready for high heels. And you are going to get married also because it's your turn now. Team Awesome, I'm married now. It's your turn. So I'm saying, so if anybody has any possible suitors out there for Kaylin, send them my way.
Goodness.
I would like a picture, a little resume. We can talk about it, you know, likes, dislikes, favorite food, favorite color. Gotta go through mama. Gotta go through the mini mama, which is me, and then we'll share it with Kaylin's mama, and we're going to work this out. And, of course, you know, she's got to be fit. She's got to be into the lifestyle because Kaylin lives and breathes. So we got to have someone who can, you know, adapt and be supportive to all that. So, you know, just a few pieces of criteria out there. Oh, and his favorite cake is carrot cake. So if she can whip up a mean carrot cake, that's a plus.
Ay, Dios mío.
I've always got your back. Always got your back. So Operation O'Kellen Wedding Bells is in full effect. That's all I'm going to say right now. I'll keep you guys updated.
Is this show over yet?
Actually, it's pretty close. We got about a minute and a half, so we got enough time to do the snickerdoodle shout out, and then we'll be good to go.
Yes, third party testing. Yeah. Because we just read an article that was just basically trying to have people get through the edges and cracks and corners and sell basically illegal products that's harmful to human beings and any other animal. And I'm so thankful to God that we have a crew that wants to have our supplements drug tested. That is awesome.
Yes, awesome. And so we'll talk about that more on Thursday where we have a little more time. Snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle. And I also got to give a plug to the all chefs because if people were thinking that I was on something more than what they thought I was, you really got to be impressed with how that product works.
Yes, and if you're clueless as to what Kaylin's talking about, we'll talk about that more on Thursday as well. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, Snickerdoodle, all shucks, and the boys at P4P Real Talk, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.